Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Biggest play, Hurts under center. They push, they shove, and he's in! Touchdown! They did it again!
Yeah, they do it all the time. Thank you to Eagles Radio. Wow, another tush-push works. Jalen Hurts, a one-yard touchdown that extended Philadelphia's lead 20-10. Mm. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs 2017. It was the Super Bowl rematch, Pearl. Your birds get the win. Was that a satisfying win for Philadelphia?
No, not really, because this is going to sound terrible, but the Chiefs just don't seem like a worthy opponent with no Xavier Worthy, no pun intended. Like, they just, like, what is their offense? Like, if Patrick Mahomes has a run for something, like, I just, honestly, they feel like a wounded animal right now. So, I guess it is, of course, it's a satisfying win to win in Kansas City. That's huge. But the Chiefs do not, they don't feel like an elite team right now. Is that crazy to say?
They are not an elite team right now. Now, here's the thing about the Chiefs. We're asking a question today. Do the Chiefs look washed? Travis Kelce, you know, with another big blunder. I was thinking about the Swifties and if they know a lot about football. I'm like, man, they really missed prime Travis Kelce. You know, the Swifties came onto this late where now we get late career Travis Kelce. Well, just like long in the tooth Travis Kelce.
Well, it's considered a good game for him. He had four catches for 61 yards. And, like, that's now a good Travis Kelce game, where he used to be over 100 all the time. So we're not going to see the elite Travis Kelce. We might see a somewhat effective Travis Kelce.
I mean, this is the thing about the Chiefs. This is not a good look, right? You're right. Patrick Mahomes is kind of the only thing they can do with the run game. And, you know, we love an Isaiah Pacheco. It's a great story. And Chubb or Kareem Hunt, but they can't get anything going with the run game. The receivers are either hurt or they're unavailable because of suspension. The offensive line is just not there yet, you know?
No. And
they're relying on rookie for left tackle, but the rest of the line is just not gelled. And then you get some weird turnovers in the red zone when you're in a dogfight of a game by one of your best veterans and one of the greatest players in the history of your franchise in Travis Kelce. So around, just like tough times right now for the Chiefs.
But can you argue, I mean, there is not any NFL team that could lose their one and two receivers and be good, right? I mean,
well, that's what's funny, right? Because when we were talking about their opening game against the Chargers in Brazil, it was like, wow, they really thought Rashee Rice was going to be with them for that game. Then it comes down right before the season that he's going to get suspended for the first six games. Then Xavier Worthy goes out because of the friendly fire with Travis Kelce, dislocates the shoulder, and obviously he's out. So if you were going to ask me, can any other team make up for losing receivers? I would think it would be the Chiefs. Now, would I expect 40 points a game? Maybe not, but this is like Andy Reid's bread and butter, is it not? And they look totally stagnant.
Well, I mean, their offense was bad last year, right? And they had to win with defense and sort of Patrick Mahomes in fourth quarter situations. Not bad, but it was mediocre. It definitely got worse now. I mean, with a... I understand what you're saying. Andy Reid, I think his special power, I always thought of it, is being able to make backup quarterbacks look good. Mm. He's incredible at that. I just think that the schedule started out pretty tough. The Chargers, a house on fire in Brazil. And now the Eagles are a tough opponent. And then they got the Ravens in 2 weeks. I mean, even going to the Giants, I don't know if that's a given where the Chiefs' offense is. Because where do you turn? Like, when Patrick Mahomes drops back, who is he looking for other than Kelce?
Well, I mean, he does have Hollywood Brown still.
Oh.
And, you know, listen, I'm...
Hollywood Brown, well, how many teams has that guy been on? And why?
Well, but they decided to keep him. You know, and I understand because obviously they need it, but they have the guys that they like here. Think about all these names who have been with them through these Super Bowls. Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't do much anymore. Kareem Hunt they still have, who can be, I guess, something in the pass game. Tyquan Thornton had a really big catch, a 49-yard reception yesterday. But yeah, it's not, and Isaiah Pacheco is still there. Noah Gray's still there. And yeah, it's not Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. I understand it, but it's still a lot of familiar names. And I guess here's the big thing about the Chiefs. Are they going to be able to keep this thing afloat for when Rashee Rice is back and when Xavier Worthy is healthy?
Well, we knew the Chiefs have this brutal first half schedule, right? So everyone knew they had the Eagles and the Ravens and the Lions sitting there and your Bills week 9. Then they have a bye. Then they can probably put together some wins. So I think that, I mean, that's the best teams in the league. That's last year that was four of the top five teams in the entire NFL are on their first half schedule. So that is a big problem for Kansas City. If they're 3-5 going into the bye, are you panicking about them? See, I think then they have a chance to go on a run and get the wild card. And if they're the wild card, then they could be dangerous. I think Rashee Rice is a game changer for them. 2 years ago, he was amazing in the last quarter of the season. Last year, he had 100-yard games in three of his first four games. He's their best option. So get him in, then we'll judge him.
Here's Andy Reid yesterday after the game taking blame for the loss. Felt that he was just too aggressive.
I'll take full responsibility for that game. Rice said too aggressive on that, and that's my responsibility. I thought my guys played their tail off and played hard and aggressive football, and they stuck together throughout the game, and they'll pay for us down the road when as we continue to grow.
Some heavy breathing there. I mean, it's just like
that was your takeaway, Maggie.
Sorry, I was distracted a little bit by it. I mean, listen, everyone took a lot of blame yesterday. This is still a really buttoned up football team, right? Outside of the knucklehead moves that put them in these positions, like with Rashee Rice and whatever. But,
yeah,
you know, like they're all going to take responsibility. There's not going to be finger pointing. You know, they get after each other sometimes on the sidelines, which you see with the Chiefs. Like they will scream. Travis Kelce will yell at offensive linemen. He'll bump his head coach in a Super Bowl if he feels like he's not getting enough playing time. But ultimately, it was always justified because they would eventually come out with a W. You know, I was wondering if this team was going to start to show some cracks. I don't know why that was so hard to say. Show some cracks, but they're all taking responsibility for this loss. There does not seem to be any finger pointing whatsoever. That's the point I was trying to make.
Well, I see what you're saying. I'm not sure they're buttoned up, though, because Travis Kelce said, I haven't worked hard the last two off seasons. That's not buttoned up. Juwan Taylor gets about 9 penalties a game. That's not buttoned up. The Rashee Rice, obviously, they knew he was a character issue coming in, and he turned out to be. So the Chiefs have always kind of taken these guys that they knew were off the field risks. They famously drafted Tyreek Hill when the rest of the league would not draft him.
Yeah, which, by the way, I was wondering if there's a reunion in the works because Miami is just in a bad way right now.
Yeah, but I will tell you one thing. Their defense was pretty good. I mean, there was I don't know much about this guy, Omar Norman Lott, their new defensive lineman. Where'd that guy come from? Talbot, Tennessee, second round pick. He had a hit that just took a guy out of his socks yesterday.
That hit on Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
But it was a body slam. Slamming people now?
It was awesome.
I felt like I saw like 4 body slams over the first 2 weeks of the NFL season.
That looked like a Goldberg spear from back in the day in WCW.
Yeah, and the penalized ones went against the Giants yesterday.
If I'm a Bills fan or a Ravens fan, I am praying that this team just does not get into the wild card because they will be... They'll sort of reform later in the season, I feel like. I think they're going to be good later in the season. But last year we saw it too. The weapons were a major problem until Worthy came on at the end. And then come Super Bowl, it was too late.
I was thinking of this watching the Chiefs yesterday. And you can weigh in at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I know they're not whole. We know that, right? Especially on offense. It just looked like a team that's just played a lot of football. You know, like, are they out of ideas? Are they out of just, I don't know what. And, you know, I know your Eagles have also played a lot of football over the last few years, making these deep runs in the postseason. But that's what the Chiefs look like to me. Just a team that is just kind of gassed, out of it, over it, something like that. Or at least the offense. Just not that they're not trying. It's not that. It just looks like a team that needs a break. And I know they get an off season, but, you know, these off seasons get a lot shorter when you're all the way to the Super Bowl and then lose in the way they did. Patrick Mahomes has never lost three games in a row.
I'm hearing you're a little bit out. You're a little bit out on them.
Well, listen, you can never be fully out because they'll make you look stupid when they get, you know, Rashi Rice back and Xavier Worthy will come back healthy. But didn't it look like that to you guys?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
watching one of those teams that's just played a lot of football.
I see what you're saying. I mean, last year was rough. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I honestly think judge them when Rice and Worthy are back. Assuming Worthy is himself, I think that they're going to be a different team. Let's see, week 11, they go to Denver. Week 12, Indianapolis, then Dallas. They have a lot of indoor games late in the season. I think that offense is going to pick up.
I think what's a little concerning is that they just can't run away from teams anymore. And, you know, maybe Rashi Rice...
Like literally on the ground, you mean? Or
no,
just by points on the board?
I mean, just there was a time when the Chiefs would just... You make any kind of mistake, you get a couple of three and outs, and it was game over. They would just bury you with explosive plays, and those explosive plays are just so rare now. Like, I mean, he makes that throw to Thorne, the one he missed earlier, but then he made one, and it's like you kind of forget, all right, Patrick Mahomes has a golden arm. Like, he has maybe the best arm in the NFL, but those plays are so few and far between. So it feels like the Chiefs have to, it feels like it's so, I mean, they have to work for everything. It's almost like watching a boxer who's a knockout guy who has to go through 12 rounds as they're trying to survive because the guy's not letting them get big shots on them. That's what it feels like watching the Chiefs, is that they can't get that knockout blow. So then every drive is a drag. It's got to be a 12, 13, 14 play drive in order to score. It's hard to win football games like that, as good as they are.
That's what the Eagles, Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Wants desperately. But let me ask you a question. Name a team that would lose their one and two receiver and have knockout blow potential. There's not a single team. Tyquan Thornton was a castaway from the Patriots. Hollywood Brown's a castaway from everybody. Like, what team? Well, actually, maybe your Bills, because they don't really have a one or two receiver.
Yeah, but it's sort of, I think it's by design. You know.
But generally, though, you lose the fastest player in the NFL in Xavier Worthy, no doubt, and your best receiver, Rashi Rice. You're not going to have, remember Andy Reid kept talking about the knockout blows all, or when EJ was talking about the vertical passing game all offseason? They were ready to go, and man, they have nothing.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Asking you today, do the Chiefs look washed? Tough to say, right?
Well, yeah, they look washed. Our question is, are they truly washed? Again, the rest of the NFL better get a lot of L's on that resume right now, because later in the season, I think they're going to be good if everybody stays healthy. The defense is good. Steve Spagnuolo should be a head coach somewhere, because that guy is a good coordinator.
No, that's been one of the secrets, not so secrets, to the Chiefs' success. The fact they've been able to keep him through this entire run, because I guess it was that much of a disaster in St. Louis when he was the head coach there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Sometimes some guys are coordinators, some guys are head coaches.
Also asking you today on X, are you more encouraged or discouraged by the Cowboys' overtime win against the Giants? Right now, discouraged is leading the way, 55% to 45%.
Why?
Don't worry, Jadeveon Clowney's coming.
Why?
It's just funny because the Cowboys win the game. They win. They win it overtime. They escape with a win. You would think it'd be all positive, but it's just so obvious what they're lacking, Pearl, which is the pass rush. And that's what makes this kind of glaring, because Russell Wilson had all day to throw, and he had 450 yards through the air yesterday.
I mean, would you really think it would be all positive after in Dallas beating the Giants 40-37 in overtime? That's not going to be all positive. There's no way. That felt like an L. I mean, Manny, you're a Giants fan. Did you think that game was won? There was 24 seconds left of the game. You hit a touchdown to go ahead.
Yeah, when Malik Nabers caught that ball for the go-ahead touchdown with less than a minute left, yes, I thought the game was over. But then Shane Bowen decided to play soft coverage and decided to, you know, go ahead and give Brandon Aubrey all this space to hit this field goal.
Yeah, the announcers are like, do the Giants realize what part of the field they're in already?
Evidently not. Shane Bowen. Thank you, buddy.
You know, you got rid of Wink Martindale.
Yeah, we did.
And it might have been a bad idea.
Who knows, man?
Well, he's in college now in Michigan.
That front four, though. That was fun.
We're asking, you know, the Chiefs washed. The other thing, too, so we're going to see tonight when the Chargers play the Raiders to get a little more AFC West. But Chiefs may have also caught a little bit of break yesterday with the Colts beating the Denver Broncos and their division rival, because the Colts should not have won that game. That was a crazy, crazy ending, where it comes down to what was set up to be a game-winning field goal, Pearl, and the Colts kicker misses it, but they call a leverage penalty which allows a 15-yard penalty and a re-kick, and then he nails the field goal. And the Colts walk away 2-0. They walk away winners, and Denver is there just sick to their stomach.
Yeah, I mean, Denver has not looked great this year. There's, it feels like the Chargers will be their main competition, right? Because Bo Nix is given, he was okay yesterday at best, but they were bad in week one.
And I was surprised that the defense allowed the Colts to move on them in the way that they did. We thought that the Denver Broncos defense might be one of the best in the league. Now it looks like the best defenses, no doubt, are clearly in the NFC.
Oh, yeah. Green Bay, Philly.
The Rams.
Well, we'll see. We got the Texans tonight going against a better offense.
That's true. The Texans could have a really good defense.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying anything about the Rams. We'll get into all the games later. They beat a rookie quarterback in the Titans. We don't know who the Rams are yet.
That's fair.
They are tough on defense. You're absolutely right about that.
By the way, I owe big Rams fan, to pay off a bet this week. And I got to wear Rams stuff.
Yeah, Friday.
I ordered a Rams shirt.
All right.
So I think you guys would understand, like, I'm not a Rams fan. Mm-hmm. I don't have any overlap really with the Rams.
No.
I respect the Rams, but like, I'm not going to wear Rams gear ever again, except for this thing.
Sure. Okay.
So I was looking for the cheapest possible option.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As anyone would, right?
With the Adam Archuleta.
I couldn't even get anything with an actual name on it. That was too rich for my blood. I found
Puka Nacua.
No, that one's too expensive also. I'm not spending $50 on this thing. I wanted to spend like 10. So I found a $10 Ram shirt, bro. It says Rams on it.
It says St. Louis Rams on it.
No, even that I think is like vintage now. It'd be too expensive. A Kurt Warner jersey was way too expensive.
Where are you going with this?
I had to buy a shirt, the cheapest one they had, but it's a 3X.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean 3X?
Like triple X. Like large.
Extra large.
It was the only one that they had left in the $10 shirt. So
basically, you're going to be wearing a poncho.
Kind of.
You couldn't have bought a...
I got a Rams 10.
A medium for 12?
They didn't have it. It was out. There was no... It you was know, either there's... 10 bucks or it was like 35. And I'm like, I'm not spending 35 bucks on a Rams jersey. I'm wearing it. I'm going to return it.
Give it to Goodwill afterwards.
All right. I might do that anyway.
Yeah, but now you're going to have to hope someone, you know, a heftier fella or heftier lady is going to get that shirt. Listen, 3XL is big.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But that's what I had to do.
How are you going to style that?
I don't know. I'm not. I'm just going to wear a tent shirt.
I don't know, Maggie. I feel like the $30 would have been worth it just to wear a normal size shirt for a show.
We'll
feel
see.
Like... I don't know. There's nothing between 10:35 and the whole internet, like
couldn't
the entire
find, like,
internet.
A Baker Mayfield T-shirt or something.
Guys, there's not that much. I was on Amazon.
It's an NFL team. This is
Tavon Austin.
No, guys, I could have gotten another Ram shirt. I just didn't want to spend $35 on it. That's my fault.
I don't know.
It's the only $10 shirt.
There's got to be a Jared Goff that's somewhere for 18.
Did you check eBay?
I did not. I wanted to just do this quickly. 888-710-4ISN. So that will happen on Friday. I will pay off that bet. George is in LA. He's a big Rams fan. George, you did not like what you saw yesterday from your Rams?
No. I did like them, but it was kind of humbling because that first half, they didn't look that great. Of course, that young quarterback, he's good, but you know, the Rams' defense in the second half and their offense just kind of flipped the switch. I mean, my gosh. Devontae Adams, he's better than I thought he was. He still got a lot of speed for his age. He's not what he used to be in Green Bay, but he's still good. But I was telling EJ that the NFL is really humbling, and it's not for long for any team. It doesn't matter if you're Chiefs, Eagles, Rams, whomever. And you know that Cowboy game in overtime? How did Russell Wilson, did you see that coin flip? They went on defense.
Right, but they said that's what you want now, right? Because each team gets a possession. So it's almost like college where you want to see what do you need? Do I need a field goal to win? Do I need a touchdown and maybe a two-point conversion to win? So they're saying defense now is the way to go in overtime.
Yeah, but in overtime, if you study statistics, usually the team that wins the coin flip wins the game because the teams are exhausted. Mm. You see the Giants? I mean, every possession counts, and
maybe they win the game if they get the ball. Just my opinion. But yeah. And also I was going to tell you, Verse has been injured on and off, so he's not been himself. But God, can you imagine when he gets together? And Perloff, we'll see you on Sunday, buddy.
Yeah, baby.
Oh man, George, thank you so much for the call. That's going to be an interesting one. Do you take the ball in overtime, even if that's not like the common thinking now, Pearl, just to keep the momentum going? I think is what George is talking about.
Really,
keep the pressure on when you got guys who are really tired.
Okay, so the game is coming down after it looks like the Cowboys are going to get a field goal attempt. I'm like, ah, crap, I got to remember what the new overtime rules are. And I swear to God, nobody knows any of the rules anymore. There was one last night, and I'm sorry, I'm totally forgetting the game, where a guy's shin hit the pylon and Mike Pereira's. Did you guys see that?
Tesla?
No, it was another one.
Lions?
It might have been anyway, no one, the two announcers are like, well, we have no idea what this means.
Now, I know the Steelers are going to need to have a special teams meeting.
Sure. And then the Steelers didn't know the new kickoff rules. Oh. Nobody knows the overtime rules because they change them every year. I was like, wait, I think in my brain, my reptilian brain was like, I think that both teams get the ball now, but I'm not 100% sure. And then boom, we got it.
Well, the only most important thing is if Kyle Shanahan's finally learned them. Let's go to Big Easy is in New Orleans with a question. I was wondering if it would come up today. What's up, Big Easy?
Good morning, Maggie and Perloff. Good morning to everyone. Question. Taylor, she always goes in. It's the Chiefs stadium. Everybody loves her. Nobody. She just walks through.
Yeah.
That. What was the deal with the blocking of her as she was coming in? Because they're saying they don't want her to reveal something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was clothes or she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Anybody hear about, because this is not, she didn't go to the first game and she went to the Chiefs and there's no reason for her to cover up because it's the Chiefs.
Yeah. So Big Easy, I'm glad you asked this because I was thinking it too. Now the first game was in Brazil, so maybe you could forgive her for not going to that one. She's been on a world tour for like 2 years. She might want to keep it close to home. Thank you for the call, Easy. So she walks into the stadium, Pearl, in the normal way she walks in, kind of through the back entrance, right? Mm-hmm. VIP entrance. But this big black, what do you even call that? Like panels, like a movable wall is following her. Like people are holding this up, these black panels that, so you cannot see her at all. So my first thing is she's pregnant.
Well, I never heard that, and that makes perfect sense. It's got to be, right?
I was thinking either she's pregnant or maybe she just had some kind of like I'm not saying like a facelift, but maybe she had some kind of procedure or something like that, and maybe she's a little bruised. And if she came in, like sometimes when women get like lip injections or Botox and stuff like that, you bruise on your face. And if she has any bruising, well, someone could be like, did Travis hit her? You know, you can look a little weird.
I think she would stay home if she was bruised.
Maybe, but maybe.
Somebody could get a photo somewhere. Like the bruise, I think the pregnant thing.
Someone get a photo if she's pregnant, though. Like, or someone could just know, like, she's in a, there's 100 people who would.
I like the pregnancy one better.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wedding?
I mean, it'd be so embarrassing to have bruising from plastic surgery. I think she would stay home with that one.
Maybe. 888-710-4ISN. So that's a little your gossip stuff there with Taylor Swift's weird entrance into the Chiefs stadium, kind of behind this panel where no one could see her. Very odd, especially because she treats those entrances like a fashion show.
Yeah, like her and Blake Lively walk in together and it's a big deal.
Yep.
Although Blake ain't walking anymore.
I don't think they're friends anymore.
Yeah,
but
they
got
beef.
I'm sure she'll write an album about
it. DJ?
Can you imagine being Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's kid? Like, you walk into first grade and like,
I hate being poor.
Yeah, I don't even know, but like, because not even poor, like you have the most famous mom, one of the top five most famous moms in America. That'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, see, I feel bad sometimes for kids who have parents like that, like one of Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley's kids. Like, she's not as pretty as Christie Brinkley. She's not as good enough musician as Billy Joel. You're kind of in this middle ground.
Oh, like Michael Jordan Jr., guys like that who just like
aren't
quite
there. Yeah, and it's
not
going great for them, by the way. One of those sons all over the map. Anyway, 888-710.
Oh, he's winning the game, isn't he, with Larsa Pippen?
Nope.
Not anymore.
Ah, whatever.
He got pulled over by the police and I had to pull the, do you know who my father is?
Oh, I recall.
Wasn't he also snorting cocaine at the club?
Well,
again, winning the game.
I think we have to call that a white substance.
What about Junior?
Cover ourselves. Okay, we have more for you from the weekend. Not only crazy endings in the NFL, but college as well. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. All right, Maggie, it was a stress-free weekend for you. I know that much. You had the Bills on cruise control from week one. Although, did your quarterback have a boo-boo?
He left the game. My stomach went to my feet. Turns out Josh Allen just has
those giant feet.
Those giant feet. Had to deal with that sorrow. Just a really severely broken nose, gushing blood. And you could see as it started swelling. And I was like, well, thankfully he's married to a Hollywood actress. If he ever needs a nose job, he's going to have access to the best of the best.
I was actually thinking, I was like, oh, my take that Josh Allen's running too much is going to come true. Like, that dude gets, he did. I'm like, you're playing the Jets. Do not run the ball. The offense on the other side is not going to do anything. He is still fearless. He even went back in there and was running a little bit.
He's lucky he didn't break a collarbone. I mean,
he's so big that, will that keep you safe forever? I don't know, because Cam Newton was big too, and he eventually got hurt.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And you see what's happening in the rest of the AFC, right? So, you know, the Ravens still look great, and it took every ounce of, you know, the Ravens' collapse in that week one. But if Joe Burrow has a turf toe, and I know Andrew Bogus is here, will update us on the latest with Burrow, he could have a season-ending toe injury or a very severe toe injury. The Chiefs are in disarray. We'll see what happens with the Texans tonight. But, like, the AFC... You know, at some point, the Bills have to take advantage here. And I know it's only week two, but you're looking around the rest of the conference and it's like, all right, well, this might be, you know, you don't want to spoil another even better opportunity, especially if the Chiefs are maybe taking a step back.
Well, isn't the final four almost always the same in the AFC? It's always the Bills, Ravens, Chiefs. And now, I mean, I would worry about the West. You better hope the Chargers look bad tonight. That's a team. Then again, Herbert will probably implode in the playoffs, but maybe that's a team that could be feared. But everyone has to go through Buffalo.
It's Jim Harbaugh year two, man. It's like death and taxes.
Yeah, but he's going to have to come to Buffalo because Buffalo has all these buys on their schedule. They're going to be 15-2. Unless he gets another boo-boo.
Listen, boo-boo. Guy broke his nose.
I mean, a broken nose. You think Jalen Hurts would have come out with a broken nose?
Yes.
He came out for three plays.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headlines. By the way, poll question up at Maggie and Pearl. More encouraged or discouraged by the Cowboys having to go to overtime and all of overtime to beat Manny and Bogus's New York Giants? Also, are you out on Arch Manning? He was booed because Texas did not beat UTEP by enough on Saturday. Only a 17-point win. Bogues, what do you have?
Was anybody else confused by how confused Tony Romo was with Josh Allen's injury?
He called it, actually, right from the beginning. To be fair to him, he's like, I think he got hit in the nose.
But then he kept saying, he didn't understand, like, why he was still on the sideline.
I don't know what they mean.
And there was, like, blood falling out of his face. He's like, they went to break, and I think at the end of the quarter, right? It was the end of the first quarter, into the second, and he's like,
backs.
Something must be wrong if he's not back yet. His nose is busted, dude.
Yeah, they got to find some tampons to stick up there before he can get back out.
All right, you brought it up. I thought that's exactly what it looked like, but I didn't want to be the first one to bring it up.
It's the same kind of science, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, remember when Jokic broke his nose in the playoffs and it looked like he had a tampon sticking out of there? Yeah. I mean, it's just what it is.
To learn more, visit realizethedream.org.
To learn more about what?
What a day. Martin Luther King Jr. deserves to have a day named after him.
Okay. Now, everything Romo says, like, sounds exactly like that soundbite. Listen this week.
Okay.
Everything Tom Brady says is also starting to sound like what a day. He's got the same cadence once in a while.
What a day.
Trying to be somewhat profound when he has absolutely nothing to say.
Yeah.
He's got a little Romo in him. Listen for it next week. There's a lot of what a day. Like Tom Brady, yep, he is sure is a good tight end.
What a day. Martin Luther King Jr.
Your headlines, by the way, are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance. They protect small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Deeper.
After an afternoon with plenty of offense, just one touchdown on Sunday Night Football in Minnesota, but the Falcons did get five field goals from Parker Romo.
Watch out, young boy.
Sacking J.J. McCarthy six times and forcing three turnovers to win in primetime 22-6. Raheem Morris, proud of the bounce back from a week one heartbreaker.
There's no hiding behind curtains. There's no sugarcoating things with us. We just speak the truth, and that truth came to reality today when those guys came out and responded in a big way, and I knew they would.
McCarthy couldn't find the magic from last Monday night in Chicago. He only got the Vikings offense into the red zone once last night. He threw two picks and lost a fumble. They were a fairly popular knockout pool pick. The Cardinals hosting the scuffling Panthers. Arizona scored a defensive touchdown within the first 2 minutes of the game, eventually leading 27-3 in the third quarter, but were somehow fighting for all our lives in the final moments.
The Cardinals rush for Young back to pass. Pressure in Young's face. He's hit. He's sacked. It's Calais Campbell who ends the game in his first game back at State Farm Stadium wearing all red. Calais the hero in this game. Finally, we'll come to an end.
Dave Pasch on Cardinals Radio. Me and the Cards surviving 27-22. Bryce Young, 328 yards and three scores in defeat.
I've never seen a team try to just hand another team a win the way the Cardinals were trying to hand the Panthers that game.
Can I introduce you to the Giants-Cowboys game from Sunday?
No, trust me. No, man. This was,
you guys,
this was,
have you also
crazy.
Met Miami Dolphins?
How about when Bryce Young had like a 40-yard sack on the, looked like the game was over, and they called a ticky-tack defensive holding. But Bryce Young was not scoring on that drive. Once the Cardinals were like, whoa, this is a game. First of all, the Cardinals are the thinnest 2-0 I've ever seen in my entire life. Being the Saints and the Panthers, do we know if they're any good? Does anyone have any idea?
But if you use them in week two of a knockout pool, you've got yourself 15 more weeks of good teams.
Yeah. Same thing happened with the Saints last week. The Saints had the game-tying touchdown. The guy dropped it.
By the way, Saints were holding their own yesterday against San Francisco. That was by no means a runaway, although Mac Jones looked pretty good.
It was the same thing, right? The Niners had the game, and then they, for some reason, let them back in at the end, and they could have lost.
That was the game, by the way. I don't know if you actually ended up saying it. That was the game with the shin into the pylon and out of bounds. It was the last Saints touchdown.
Mm. Yeah, no one knew it.
Nope.
The replay booth was like, I have no idea.
Pass.
<Go ahead. laughs> It's like the tush push. Like, yeah. They're like,
new
this
phone,
is a mess.
Who's this?
Yeah, call the replay. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Back to you. The waiting continues in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow reportedly dealing with severe turf toe to his left big toe, courtesy of a first half sack yesterday afternoon. He may need surgery. He may be out until December at least. Jake Browning came off the sideline yesterday, threw three picks, but then drove for the winning points in the final minute to get a 31-27 W against the Jags.
Folks, when are you going to know whether it's surgery or not?
You guys said today. I don't know if that's the actual firm timeline, but no one is expecting good news out of this. Like, no one's expecting them to go, oh, it's just a hangnail. We're fine.
Yeah, mixed bag on the schedule for the next couple weeks for the Cincinnati Bengals. If it has to be Jake Browning, so you're at Minnesota, which, you know, their defense is really good, but obviously the offense is not there with McCarthy yet. Then at Denver, so another really good defense. Yep. Detroit, good luck stopping that offense. At Green Bay, another great defense. But then Pittsburgh, the Jets, and Chicago. Pittsburgh, tough game yesterday. That was a really weird game because it all turned on a special teams gaffe by Pittsburgh, but then Aaron Rodgers just cannot lead you back, not against a defense that good. But anyway,
what annoys me is because of this injury, the Steelers may just back right into the playoffs. Between the Chiefs starting slow and now Burrow out, it's like everything's setting up right for
Steelers.
You came away encouraged by that yesterday?
No, not by them, by just the standings, just by the teams that are, I mean, the Colts aren't going to be 13-4. Like, some of these teams that are losing and have injuries, some teams that are winning that aren't that good, I think it's going to set up right for them to somehow find a way at 9-8 to back their way in.
Colts will definitely
are so safe.
Colts will definitely be like 8-9, 9-8 at least.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's possible that the Raiders, don't count out the Raiders yet. We still have to see what they look like. Maybe, Raiders yeah. and even Patriots. Like, they're, maybe not the Patriots, but they won yesterday. I don't know.
But I like the Bengals a little bit. Browning was 4-3 as a starter 2 years ago. He's very good for a backup.
I agree. I think he's pretty
like
good.
They're just not out. The fact that the Bengals are 2-0 after all those 0-2 starts, I would stink to lose Burrow. But you do have the two. You have the best receiving core in the league, I
but
think.
But still that defense.
Yeah, that defense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A bigger dumper than usual in Seattle yesterday afternoon.
The stretch of the pitch to Cal. Swinging a drive deep into the gap in left center field. And goodbye baseball. There it is. Mickey Mantle, you got some company at the top of the list. Cal Raleigh with number 54. Left center field into the Mariner bullpen. He has just tied the great Mickey Mantle with his 54th home run of the season. Holy smokes for a switch hitter.
Rick Riz on Mariners Radio. So Cal Raleigh ties Mickey Mantle's single season mark for homers by a switch hitter with 54. And he passes Javi Lopez for the most long balls while actually catching. 43 of his 54 homers have come with him in the lineup as a catcher. That's the new single season mark. There, the Mariners also won this game 11-2 over the Angels, extending their win streak to 9 and giving them sole possession of first place in the AL West for the first time since June, because the Astros were 8-3 losers in Atlanta. And we have already mentioned UCLA firing DeShaun Foster. There is also Virginia Tech canning Brett Pry after Saturday's home loss to Old Dominion. The Hokies 0-3 this season, 16-24 in his 3-plus seasons. Michael Vick's name has been mentioned about this opening. Shane Beamer at South Carolina has been mentioned. So Virginia Tech's got at least a head start on finding somebody to be their new head coach.
And you got your Hokie Maroon on, too.
For that reason. Yeah. Let's go.
This theory, Shane Beamer would have to go to Virginia Tech because his dad was a legend there, like, to save the program? Because he's not leaving the SEC.
That's more of a, Hokie fans, dream would be to convince him to come and rebuild what his dad first
tough
started.
Tough loss to Vandy over the weekend.
Also, it feels a little early for Michael Vick, right? He's coached 2 games, hasn't he? Or how many Norfolk State?
Yeah, 2.
They were at Rutgers, right? It feels 10. Like, is he really going to be ready for a program like that already? It seems kind of quick.
I think that's just a Deion play, right? Like, just get a lot of buzz, a lot of attention and nostalgia.
You could probably get kids to go there, too,
right?
To play for you.
I mean, he's a Virginia legend.
Yeah, right.
I always feel like, though, Virginia Tech is kind of like, they're like a top. Like, they don't feel like a glitzy program. They're out in the woods in Virginia. Definitely. They always feel like a tough-nosed team, when Vic was there.
And they come out to Enter Sandman with the crazy linebacker running out the American flag. That is a scary place to play when they're usually good.
Right, like Florida State was always a glamour team, and Virginia Tech was a hard-nosed team. They don't feel like a Deion kind of team. I don't know. Like,
I've seen Deion being talked about for the UCLA
program. Yeah, that makes sense.
Norfolk State is 1-2, by the way.
3 games.
I went to Blacksburg once for basketball. It was the first time I ever got on a plane on the tarmac. Because that's how small the plane was.
Wow.
And because it was so small, they actually had to rearrange where the basketball players were sitting to balance out the weight in the plane, which also scared the you-know-what out of me.
Had been on a plane where they're like, we need someone to come to the front?
No, never before. They had made big Glenn Bateman, who was 300-plus pounds, had to shift where he was sitting in particular to balance things out.
Terrifying.
Well, I also always think that's also like, you could just be going along with your day, minding your own business, and all of a sudden someone's like, I'm sorry, we're going to need you to move to the left side. It's like, oh my God, I'm impacting the airplane?
Plane.
Yeah.
The plane.
Might be your feet.
I'd hope so, because I don't know if I'd be able to.
Do you need the emergency row? Like, are you grandfathered into that for the extra space? That's nice.
I'd aisle seats for sure.
See, Matt, would you have you stand right in the middle here and just do a nice little defensive stance?
If you flap them, can we go faster?
Yeah, if there's any ever a malfunction, if I can just butterfly kick,
Maggie, kick
I can get us to Pittsburgh.
Blow bubbles and kick, Maggie.
You want to see me on your plane. 888-710-4ISN. Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, let's go to college, shall we? The college football report card comes your way next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally gonna kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Wanna bet?
Putting that to the test on this show. Welcome. Good morning. EJ has a couple college players and coaches from the weekend. Perloff and I will give them the grade. Go ahead, EJ.
All right, let's pick five for one DJ Lagway and a loss to LSU in Death Valley. What grade are you giving the Florida quarterback?
Giving him a D+.
Whoa.
Five interceptions is terrible, but I mean, the entire Florida operation is just bad. And, you know, I can put a lot on the quarterback. I can't put all of it on him. I think D+ is sufficient enough.
Their college team averaging 2.9 yards per carry.
I saw his average yards per attempt is average yards gain per attempt is 1.7. I think
Threw for 300 yards at least. I mean, by the way.
Yeah. And then he had average yards gained per pass attempt, 1.67, according to sportsreference.com.
In yesterday's game?
Yeah, against LSU.
How many passes did he throw?
He threw 49 times, 33 completions, 287 passing yards, one touchdown, five picks.
Okay.
Yards per attempt was about six.
Oh, okay. So I was just looking up his injuries because he didn't practice. He had a strained calf in August. He had a hurt shoulder in spring. He had a sports hernia in the spring. Last year, he had the same strained calf and a hamstring injury that knocked him out for two games. That dude is clearly not healthy, and you could see it. The other thing is Billy Napier's play calling. You mentioned it. It's just like the end of the half. I don't even know where, like, what play? What are we doing here? What are we doing, Florida? I blame Napier and Lagway. But five picks, the only thing I'll tell you, Florida fans, Justin Herbert had five picks in the playoffs last year, and he came out of house on fire in week one this year. So maybe you can do a five-pick game. Maybe you can get away with that now.
Go, watch out, Miami.
Wait, so what's the grade for?
Yeah. Are you putting that game in Brazil?
Oh, I mean, I give him an E for that one.
An E?
E for excellent or E
for
we
used to have
U.
E, isn't it like, don't you get E's or F's? I don't know.
I used to get an E in elementary school. That meant excellent.
Oh, I thought there was a grade in E, no? I've never gotten anything below a B in my life, so I have no idea.
Not sure.
Okay, let's go to Georgia Tech, who pulled off a big upset over Clemson. What about quarterback Haynes King? What grade are you giving him?
I give him an A- because here's the thing on Haynes King. I mean, he's been playing since basically Georgia Tech. That stadium opened, I think, in 1908. I think Haynes King was their first quarterback. Yeah. So
it's been a long time.
Here's what impressed me, that he did throw the ball enough where you can't just put every single, like, you should spy him and then have a spy spying the spy, because you know on every key play he's going to be running the ball, and Clemson should have known that, and still, when Georgia Tech needed a drive, they couldn't stop him. So I give him, what did I give him, an A-?
Yeah.
A-, because his throwing has been like the key so far this season.
Yeah, he was 33 for 48 for three, excuse me, no he wasn't, that's his season.
207,
excuse
I think
me,
for,
yes,
yeah.
You have that. He can throw the ball. Now, I just like watching him, so I'm going to give him an A+. And I was surprised when I went after they beat Clemson on Saturday. I went to go look at his Heisman odds, and it's like 45-1.
But he's not going to have the passing numbers, and also, yeah, he just won't have the passing numbers. Can he run if they're undefeated? Or wait, did
they're 2-0. They beat Colorado. These are high-profile games. A lot of eyes on them, and Haynes King has been the difference at the end of these games. I mean, A+.
It's a little bit like, is it possible to be like a Jaden Daniels? Because, wait, 5 years ago, he was a huge disappointment. I mean, came in with a lot of ballyhoo. So it's been a long time he's been playing college football.
That's true. Who's next, CJ?
Let's go to Texas A&M, who got a big win over Notre Dame in South Bend. Signature win for one Mike Elko. What are you going to give him for a grade this week?
I'm giving him an A. I mean, it'd been a long time since Texas A&M had beaten a ranked opponent on the road. And so the fact that Elko is the guy to put that to the skid into the history books is fantastic. I mean, this is a team, Pearl, and a program that has a lot of money. They went out and spent, got some amazing receivers, and Mike Elko is airing this ball out. I mean, against a Notre Dame defense that we thought was good, they won, 41-40 was the final score?
41-40. I love this Texas A&M team more than anything. Their quarterback, Marcel Reed, is a total adventure, has amazing throws, terrible throws. He was 17 for 37, but still had 360 yards and two TDs, and Mario Craver catches everything there, 207 yards. They are really deep, exciting offense. I don't know how good the team is. They should have won that game. I think they had the better team on the field against Notre Dame. I think that they just had made some mental mistakes. We'll obviously get in the Notre Dame side of this, but I agree. You gave them an A. I could totally go A.
Last one, EJ.
All right. Make it 9 straight for Georgia. Josh Heupel's Vols lose at home to the Bulldogs. What are you giving Josh Heupel?
I'm not going to crush him for this one. I mean, listen, college kickers are always an adventure.
Yeah.
I'm always shocked when they actually make a kick.
They're getting a little better, though, right? Like, kind of like, you know how the NFL is getting better? I think colleges are getting a little better. I know what you mean.
Yeah, Max Gilbert.
But that pressure, though.
Oh, it's everything.
When it's under pressure, that's hard.
And you're at home, and you got Georgia on the ropes, and they could have won it in regulation, but they didn't. Once you went to overtime, I mean, that's just going to be really hard. I'm going to still give Heupel a B+ here.
Yeah.
He's a good coach. Like, they got the quarterback and Joey Aguilar. You got the coach. You lose 44-41. They couldn't stop the run in that overtime, and that was the difference for Georgia. I don't think I'm putting this all on Josh Heupel by any stretch.
I think it's really interesting. You get to see with Joey Aguilar running Josh Heupel's offense. Oh, last year was an aberration. Like, they are the Hendon Hooker, Josh Heupel offense. So it's so funny. They're way better off without Nico.
What's your grade for Heupel?
I'll give him an A-. Because Georgia's a good team.
Meanwhile, Notre Dame on defense get a big fat F. Can the Irish still make the playoff? That's a question for you. And what did we see in Detroit yesterday? Maggie Pearl Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.